Very good morning, everybody. Did you all rise with gusto this morning? Or did you sleep in with gusto? Sometimes it's good to sleep in with gusto, actually. With gusto just means you do it really properly. You just sleep in really well. And in a moment, I'll tell you why sometimes it's good to sleep in. But before I do, I want to share with you a dream I had last night, because it was really funny. I was attending my own retreat, and I was sitting right there. And you know what happened? During the silent meditation, everybody started talking, including me. It's just having a conversation. Oh, how are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And then somebody from the back, shh. That's such a funny dream. So maybe I should repeat a little. Maybe that's like a four sign or a sign that I should talk a little bit more about the benefits of being quiet. What do we get out of this? So that not... this afternoon when we do the silent retreat, the silent meditation, so that you don't all start talking like in my dream. When I was a little boy, well, not little boy, a boy, maybe let's say 11 or something, or in primary school, I always used to talk a lot. And also during the evening meal with my parents and my brother, I used to talk about what I did at school, about what I was building with my Legos, and blah, blah, blah. I was always the last to finish eating because I was always talking. And my parents got so annoyed with that, you know, that little boy, blah, blah, blah. Some of you might have kids that are like that. You might know what I'm talking about. So they invented a little game. And the game was called 1, 2, 3... Now we start. And what that meant was when somebody at the table said 1, 2, 3, now we start, that meant that everybody had to be quiet. And the last person to speak would win the game. And I never won. You can imagine, your parents just want some quiet, so they invent this silly little game to get their kids to be quiet. And it was usually always my father who won. He was able to stay quiet the longest. But one time I made this resolution that I was gonna be the one to finally to win 1, 2, 3, now we start. And I remember this was my father is a lovely man, but this day I really didn't like him, because you know what happened? During the whole meal, I was quiet. Then I went upstairs to my room and still be quiet. Then my father came upstairs like an hour later and he handed me the phone. And I had, hello? And he was like, yes, I won, I won. Oh no, that wasn't nice. So I never won. But 1, 2, 3, now you start being quiet. And why do we have this quiet during the retreat? It's not a game for you. It's actually something very beneficial, something that you can get a lot out of. And the reason is we talk a lot, not only with our mouth, like little boy that I was, but we also talk a lot in our head. And you might have noticed that if you sit down to meditate and all these thoughts start racing through your head. And the benefit of being quiet in the outer world with your mouth is that your mind also starts to slow down, because it's a connection between the two. And if you speak less, your thoughts will also gradually settle. Now, especially maybe in the beginning of a retreat, it might seem like the opposite. You sit down and you're like, wow, I never thought so much ever before. But that's also because when you sit down, you start to realize how much you've been thinking always already. It's not just that you start thinking when you meditate, but you're always thinking a lot. And meditation, you just become more aware of that. So it's not like meditation makes you think more sometimes. It feels like it, but it's just you're more alert, more aware of how much you sometimes think. However, in meditation, it's also very much possible to reduce those thoughts and to be quiet inside. And that is one of the beauties you can achieve in meditation, is to attain just some peace inside and just be happy to be there. And that burden of thinking that you've been carrying around all the time can stop for a while, and you're just there happy to be, even though you're not being distracted by other things. Sometimes we can sort of stop thinking maybe when we watch a movie or something, or we listen to the radio or something. And one of the reasons people like to watch movies and that sort of stuff is that they don't have to think for a while. It's like the movie does the thinking for them. But the meditation is also like, can be like as even more enjoyable than a movie. Because you can find a lot of peace and happiness there. And if that peace and happiness becomes so enticing, so interesting, that it takes up all your attention, then there's no need to think anymore. Because you're not discontent. Most of our thoughts come because we're not content where we are right now. And if you're not content in the moment, your mind will try to make it more interesting. They're like sitting there, this is boring, let me think about this or that. It's really, lots of our thoughts come from that place of not being interested in the present moment. Now, I said before that it's sometimes good to sleep in with gusto. And so this talk, I wanted to focus on two major hindrances that happen in meditation, and then explain why sometimes it's good to sleep in. And two major hindrances, two that are sort of opposites, that's why I would like to address them together, is sleepiness and restlessness. Sleepiness, those of you who meditated before, you will recognize in your meditation, you just sit there and everything is dull and you start nodding away and your mind just start drifting into sleep or dullness. And it's a very natural thing to happen, but it sort of blocks getting really peaceful and alert. On the other hand, you have restlessness. You are aware, you are alert, awake, but just this constant restless energy inside of you, that you start thinking or you're just fiddling around and the mind just doesn't want to settle. And in one of the suttas, there is a person called Sona who goes to the Buddha, and he asks about this. And about this either being restless or sleepy. It's always like going from one to the other. And the Buddha knew that Sona, before he started meditating, used to play a lute. It's like a little guitar in the time of the Buddha. And he said to Sona, when you tune your lute string, it has to be just the right tightness for it to make a beautiful sound. If it's too loose, it'll just plock, 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 and it won't sound nice. If it's too tight, ding, 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 and it might snap. I used to play a little bit of guitar as a layperson, and sometimes when I was new to playing guitar, I didn't know what way to turn the knob when tuning it, and ding, 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 touch, and it snaps. And the Buddha said, that is like sleepiness and restlessness. You have to find the balance in the middle. Restlessness comes from too much energy applied too willfully. And sleepiness comes from too little energy. Energy applied too slackly. So you will all encounter both of these hindrances during this meditation retreat, probably quite a lot. And that's good, because that's how we learn about our minds and about these things. I mean, meditation would be boring if just you sit down and after half an hour you're enlightened and you've got nothing more to do, you know. That's boring. We better get some hindrances as well. So hindrances are our friend, you know. They teach us about ourselves and about our mind and body, about life. So when these hindrances arise, when you get restless or sleepy, first thing is never get annoyed or upset with yourself. It might be that during this whole retreat, every meditation session, you are the one snoring in the back. If that is you, don't get upset with yourself, because that's okay. It's just the way the mind is. And if you are the person who is always restless, that's also fine. These hindrances, we did not choose them. They just happen, and there's no need to get upset with things that we don't choose, right? If we could choose, we would choose to be enlightened right away, but you can't choose that. So you just get what is coming to you, and we just accept that with an open heart. So about these two hindrances, sleepiness and restlessness, I will talk a little bit to give you some methods to deal with them. Because just sitting there, accepting them with an open heart, that is always the start, but there's often a little bit more you can do. Yeah? And the Buddha also gave various ways to approach these hindrances. So, about sleepiness. I said before, sometimes it's good to sleep in with gusto. And why is that? Because many of you will have very busy lives. And you might have children to take care of, a busy job, or a partner that needs a lot of attention, or anything that just takes a lot of energy. And then you come to a meditation retreat, and your mind and body realize, oh, this is a time to get some energy back. And because now you don't have much to do. And sometimes it's actually good to get that energy just from sleeping. When I do a meditation retreat in the monastery, I always have this resolution. This is like a 2-week retreat. I have this resolution. For the first 2 days, I just sleep as much as I want. Take naps, take sleep in, go to bed early if I want, just to get as much energy as I need. Because I learned very quickly in my monastic life that if I just force myself to a certain schedule of waking up early, then often my meditation is more sleepy than it needs to be. for the simple fact that I'm just simply tired, right? You can't stay awake forever. You'll get tired at some point. Even the Buddha had to sleep at some point. So some of the sleepiness that we have in meditation is very natural. It just has a natural cause, and even people like the Buddha would have had sleepiness of that sort. So this is the kind of sleepiness that you can easily prevent just by making sure you get a good night's rest. Of course, you're sleeping in a strange place and it might be just getting used to the bed and everything like that. But don't sell yourself short by forcing yourself to get up earlier than is good for your body. And that is why when I made the retreat schedule, I made sure that there wasn't rice with gusto at 4 o'clock. Because I'm sure even if I would have said that is optional, then there would still be a couple people who think, I'm going to do it. I'm going to rise every morning at 4 o'clock. Yeah, I see some people smiling because you realize, that might have been me. But then you might just get yourself more tired than you need to be, and your meditation will suffer. So that's the first major way to get rid of some tiredness in your meditation. Just rest. Now, even sometimes you're very well rested, you think you're well rested, or your body might be well rested, but maybe your mind is not well rested yet. You sit down in meditation, and maybe you start off being sort of aware, but soon you notice your awareness just starts fading out a bit. You know what I'm talking about. You just get dull and sleepy. And the first approach, let me back up a bit. There's actually multiple reasons why you might get dull and sleepy, and multiple causes. And the problem with sleepiness is when you're sleepy and dull, you're not alert enough usually to see why. Just for the very fact that you are so sleepy, you don't know what caused it. And the first thing I always do when that happens in my meditation, when I get dull and tired, is just to let it be. I said before, there's no need to get upset with the hindrances, and there's also no need to fight them. So you just let the tiredness be and make friends with the tiredness, the sleepiness. And you might think, well, won't I be ruining my meditation and I'll just fall asleep? Sometimes it's so surprising. You might actually sort of nod off for a little bit, maybe just a couple seconds, and that's all your mind sometimes needs. I don't know why that is, but sometimes you just meditate and you just accept that you're tired and just nod off for a little bit, and then you come back much more aware. It's just like your mind just needed that little break, even if you've slept enough. Sometimes that's all your mind needs. So if you get tired during this meditation retreat, if you get sleepy during the meditation, try that first. Just let it be. Don't fight it. Don't make an enemy out of it. Just accept it and just see what happens when you do that. Maybe your mind will just figure out by itself what needs to happen. That's always the first approach. The Buddha gave many more approaches, actually. And one of them is pulling your earlobes. And that's why I think the Buddha has such long earlobes. Must have been really tired during meditation a lot. So if you get sleepy, you've got a good example. You're in good company, that's what I'm trying to say. No, that's not why the Buddha has long earlobes in the statues. He probably didn't even really have them in real life, but in the statues he has, because they used to have these rings in their ears when they were like princes and stuff. you see that sometimes still, like when the bunkers have that and stuff, like they used to have it in the time of the Buddha, so that's why they depict it like that, because it used to be a prince. Anyway, you might also try, if you get tired, pull your earlobes. I can already imagine when I do the guided meditation later and I just open my eyes to see how everybody's doing and see all the everybody. That would be funny. Now, I tried that, pulling the earlobe things, and it doesn't actually seem to work very well. You just get painful ears, that's all. So I would not recommend that one. Well, you can try, but... And one thing that might be more useful is to generate some joy and happiness in a meditation. Because one of the reasons that we often get sleepy is, apart from being tired, which is the most common reason, there's another reason, which is actually quite different. There's a different cause to it. And that is, we are just bored. And we don't find meditation interesting. And nothing is going on. You're just sitting there, breathing in, breathing out, boring. And of course, then if you're bored, you'll start falling asleep. It's just like when in high school you went to some of the classes and some of the teachers were just really boring, so you fell asleep in class, right? And when the teachers were interesting, then you never fell asleep. One time I woke up during a class and my whole table was covered in the spittle, in the drool, because I was like, that was so nasty. I don't know why I'm telling you that. But that was a boring teacher, that's what I'm trying to say. But when the teacher's interesting, then you don't fall asleep. And it's the same with meditation. If your meditation is interesting, then you don't fall asleep. When it's boring, then you fall asleep. Then your mind gets dull. And often it feels like sleepiness just overcomes us. We're just overcome by sleepiness. It's nothing that we can do about it. That's what it feels like. But when you become more skilled in meditation and more aware, you'll find that often sleepiness is a choice. It's like there's a fork in the road in your meditation. And if you go to the right, you stay aware and bright. But if you go to the left, you fall asleep. You get dull. And that is because sometimes the mind just makes a choice. Okay, this is boring, I'm going to fall asleep. It's like you make that choice in a sense. So what can we do about that? Is to make meditation more interesting, to uplift the mind with joy and happiness. So one thing you can do is when you're meditating, instead of breathing in, breathing out, same old boring breath, you can really make your breath enjoyable. Breathing in, yeah, so cool. Well, you don't say that out loud, of course. And breathing out, so pleasant to be here. Breathing in, really beautiful. Breathing out, trying to notice all the different sensations in your breath and to really make it interesting. Yeah? Whether it is your breath or whatever other meditation you're doing, make it somehow cool and something new. And find some joy as well. I'll talk about joy more another day, because it's such an important part of the path. And that's what the Buddha also said. That's what he said to that guy Sona of the lute. He said, if your mind is dull, it's not the right time to calm it more, because you'll just fall more asleep. Then it's the right time to generate things like joy and alertness. But when your mind is restless, then it's not the right time to create more joy because they might just get more restless. Then it's the right time to calm it more. So you see, sometimes meditation, you have to judge depending on your state of mind what is the right approach for you at that moment. And this is why when I will do some guided meditations, I just cannot teach something that is appropriate for everybody. Because you might be in a state of mind that guided meditation I give might not work at that point. So in meditation, we always use right discernment, let's call it that. We are aware of what's going on and we learn what the appropriate response is to what's going on. There's not a one-size-fits-all solution for every problem in meditation. And this is an aspect of what nowadays is called mindfulness. But mindfulness is not just being aware in the present moment, which is how it's often explained nowadays. It's also knowing and remembering what the right tools are for your meditation in that moment, what you should do. So if you're restless, you're trying to find some calm and contentment in the moment. When you're sleepy, well, just as I said, if it's from tiredness, make sure you get enough rest. But if it's from boredom or just the mind being dull, then try and uplift the mind somehow. Find some happiness and joy. Those are just some ways to approach that. Now, I talk mainly about sleepiness. Let me talk a little bit more about restlessness, because those are like the two opposites, as I've said before. And after I talk a little bit about restlessness, we'll do a short guided meditation, and then that will be the end of this session. But restlessness. One of the reasons we get restless is too much focus on things that are not happening in the present moment. And that is why yesterday I gave you the, Ananda called it, the Dragon Ball Z meditation. That's what he said. Oh, I liked your Dragon Ball Z meditation. Well, I don't want it to go down in history as the Dragon Ball Z meditation. So it's actually, in the suttas, it's called meditation on emptiness. When I did the meditation, like imagining that outside of this meditation retreat is just emptiness. So that's what the Buddha also did in some of the texts. So this meditation on emptiness is very deep teachings, actually, and maybe I jumped in a little bit in the deep end, but it is one way to remove some of the restlessness by sort of taking out some of the things that you used to think about so much, all those things in the outside world, to make them less important. But the biggest way to remove restlessness is by finding contentment in the present moment. It's to be happy, to be here and now, to find relaxation in the moment. If we are happy to be here, then why would we think about being somewhere else? Why be restless if you're just happy to be here? So much of this retreat I will probably focus on finding contentment, because we agreed when I asked you yesterday, is it a good idea to have the theme of this retreat be peace? And you said, I'll nod it. And in case you were the one shaking your head no, then I didn't see you. So, but then you can just you can have an unpeaceful retreat if you want. That's fine with me. No. So we all agree it's peacefulness. Peacefulness comes from contentment. So hopefully I'll talk a lot about contentment and how to find that. But not today, because I don't have, not now anyway, maybe any questions and answers or something like that, or tomorrow, whenever. Right now, I would like to talk to you a little bit for 10 minutes more about how to find peace and contentment in your body. Often we sit down to meditate, for me anyway, and I'm actually pretty sure it's the same for everybody. We sit down and our body is very uncomfortable. It just doesn't feel nice. It has all this energy or stress inside of it. And if you then just sit down in meditation and you try to ignore that, you try to make your mind peaceful and calm while your body is aching and restless, and that is very, very difficult. It's possible, but it's not an ideal way to approach meditation. And that is why my teacher and many of your teachers as well, Ajahn Brahm, he often starts guided meditation with relaxing the body. And that is actually a very beautiful way to start your meditation, because by relaxing your body, you're not only relaxing your body, but indirectly you're also relaxing the mind. And also by relaxing the body, you give a peaceful, let's say, foundation for the mind, or a peaceful house for the mind to be in. It's like if you live in a house where it's all noisy and everything, then it's very difficult for you to also become quiet. The same if your body is restless and in stress, then it's very difficult for your mind to be peaceful. So what we do in meditation, if you are in that situation or your body just feels tense, is try and relax it. And we try and relax it by using our mind, by using our attention, by trying to just relax your body. And I would like to do, instead of talking more about that, do a little guided meditation on that theme right now. Does that sound like a good idea? Because meditation is all in the practice. I give you all these ideas, and some of them might stick in your head, but most of them you'll forget straight away if you don't put them to practice. So I'll try and actually put these words into action, or non-action, actually. Meditation, non-action. So please find a nice and comfortable place to sit. I see many of you are already wise enough to pick a chair to sit on. And please don't feel like you have to sit on the floor to be a good meditator. If a chair is more comfortable for you, then that is where you should sit. There's still some left that you could put in the back. There's a stack there, so there's plenty of chairs still left. I taught a retreat in Poland once, and they prepared the hall, and they only had mats in the hall. And outside of the hall, there were also chairs. And when I came into the hall, everybody was sitting on the floor, except for one person, one man, sitting in the back on a chair. And I started the retreat by saying, I see one wise person here who chose to sit on a chair to be more comfortable. And the next talk, many more people sit on chairs. And after that retreat, that man came up to me and said, "Ah, I felt when I first sat down in the hall, I felt like I was the worst. Like I had to be the one sitting on the chair, and all these professionals were sitting on the floor. And I was so felt so appreciated that you said that I was the wise one." So the same applies here as well. And here we already have many chairs set out. So. But some people just like to sit on the floor, like me. So please do that as well, if you need to. Okay. So let's now start the meditation together. When you sit down to meditate, you can, if you want, close your eyes. Sometimes, especially when you're sleepy, you can also keep them open if you want. But for the purpose of this meditation, where we focus on our body, it's often helpful to close your eyes, because it allows you to have more awareness of the feelings in your body. It's like you only have so much room for awareness in your mind, and if you take away part of what your mind needs to pay attention to, I mean the things you see, by closing your eyes, you have more awareness left for the things that happen inside of you. So with your eyes closed, if you feel comfortable doing so, just bring your awareness to your body. And without any judgment, just ask yourself, what does my body feel like right now? What is going on? And is there anything I can do to make this body more comfortable? Can I improve my posture? And if you find out that there is something you can do, then you should do it. For example, I feel like I have to change my legs around, so I do it. If you're stubborn and you don't listen at the beginning of your meditation to your body, then later on you'll very likely just get to suffer for it. Because the little pains that might seem insignificant at the start will just grow and become more annoying. So always at the start of meditation, if it's sitting meditation, make sure that you've got a decent posture. Maybe you need to change the position of your body on the cushion. Or maybe you need to stretch a little bit some of your body or your neck or your arms, whatever. And please, I want you to do that if you feel that is necessary. And it might take a few minutes for you to become aware enough of your body to be able to tell what adjustments you need to make to your posture. So even if you might think, everybody else is sitting still right now, I should sit still as well, then no, don't listen to that voice. Instead, be wise and realize that you might just need to make some more adjustments to your body to find a comfortable posture. Posture will never be absolutely perfect. It's just the nature of the body that it can't be in perfect peace all the time. But when you sit down to meditate, at least ask yourself, this posture I have right now, will that be comfortable for X amount of time that I plan to meditate? Is this good enough? If the answer is no, make some more adjustments. Or as I said before, sit on a chair. Sometimes meditating in your hut, in your room, you might even want to lie down. And if the answer is yes, this posture is good enough, then that creates a kind of confidence in your body, which later on will make it easier to let go of, because you know that it's going to be okay. And once you find a decent posture, when you've made like the coarse adjustments to your body, it's time to see if you can make the smaller adjustments to make it more comfortable. And this is when we really also start taking away some of that restlessness in the body. See if there's any place in the body that might be tense or aching. And if you are a normal human being, then there'll probably be multiple of those places right now. But that's okay. Try to see if you can make friends with those feelings and if you can calm them down a little bit. Just ease that part of your body. For me, I notice I have a tense upper back. And I just imagine all that tension dissipating. And the muscles in my upper back becoming all soft. And loose. And by doing so, you might notice it does become a little bit more comfortable. Might not completely disappear, but becomes easier to sit with. And like that, just go through all the various parts of your body where you feel some tension and see if you can just lessen that tension a little bit. and maybe pay some special attention to parts of the body where you might store some of the stress, as it were. Maybe in your shoulders, or the muscles around the eye, your forehead, it's another common place. Or all of them combined might also be the case. See if you can give that attention, some loving attention. Just like the hindrances, these feelings are not our enemy. We did not choose to have them. So we just accept them as they are. Not our fault that they are here, they're just here. And we'll just see if we can relax them a little bit. As I said before, it's just the nature of the body that it will never be perfect. But hopefully at least you found a little bit of relaxation, a little bit more calm in your body than before the meditation. Maybe it's just this overall background relaxation, even though you might still have some pains and aches, maybe beyond it you'll find also some peace as well in your body. If so, please tune into that. And appreciate even the tiniest bits of relaxation that you might have been able to find during this short meditation. When meditating on an uncomfortable body, it's very easy to become negative or have ill will. But try to prevent that. That's why, instead of only focusing on the tension in the body, also find some focus on what is comfortable. Focus on the positive side. This way you'll make some friendship with your body. And the meditation will be much easier, because there's not this fighting going on between your mind and body. They become like a team in the meditation. Both not being perfect, but good enough. Okay, I'm sure many of you would have loved for this meditation to go on a bit longer, but I also know that sitting for an hour for some of you will be uncomfortable just by itself. That's why I keep these sessions not longer than an hour, I'll try to. So if you need to move and stuff, you can. Okay, I'll see you this afternoon.